Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Lactation Station. I'm Michaela, your host. A couple of things that I want to touch on before we get to our actual segment is don't forget to go by the website, check out, you know, what's going on there. I got some new stuff up there. Check out the new logo. Let me know what you think about that. I have some lactation services that are available, including one-on-one Zoom meetings. A lot of times I try to answer your questions online or in an email, but sometimes it's easier to sit and talk to each other. So I'm offering one-on-one Zoom meetings, just $25 for an hour, and then we can address any issues that may be a little bit more private for you or that can't be answered in just a comment on Facebook or something like that. So definitely check that out. There's some other options if you want to induce and you're not sure, you know, how to go about it. I have some options on there for subscription prices to help you throughout the year to, you know, start inducing. You know, there's just a lot of different options. So go by the website. It's lactationstation2020.com and check that out. Let me know what you think about the new logo. I really like it. And I was really impressed with the designer that made it for me because I'm definitely not going to take credit for that. It was a really good job. If you get a chance to join the Facebook group, it's Lactation Station 2020. It's super easy to find. It's a private group, so you don't have to worry about, you know, anything that you may or may not want to talk about in front of, you know, other people if you don't want other people finding your information or anything like that. The group is private, so, you know, that you don't have to worry about that. If you have any questions, you can email me at lactationstation2020@gmail.com, and I will do my best to answer those for you. I'm also going to be starting a patron page that's going to allow you, depending on the tier that you subscribe to, it's going to allow you early access to the podcast. It'll probably be available a day or two before it's on Anchor. And then I'm also going to be adding videos for a lot of different things, supplements, pumps. You know, I just feel like there's some things that we talk about that need to have a visual aspect to them. So a lot of times I will talk about them in the podcast and then do a video to show, you know, more specifically what I was talking about or the way a pump works or, you know, just different things like that. So those are some options on Patreon. You know, go by there and as soon as I get that published and up and running, I will let everybody know. And then, you know, you can go by there and take a look at that. Let's talk about, you know, just relactation in general. There's, you know, very little research on this. And most of the available studies strongly suggest that with proper support, you can partially or fully lactate. I mean, we all know that, or, you know, most of us know that, or the ones that don't know that are in the process of knowing that. But that's also what I'm here for. You know, I really want to be a resource to our community, just be here to help you if you need any information or you're not sure about something. You know, it just continues to amaze and baffle me how ignorant people are on the subject of induced lactation and relactating, you know, and educated people. I'm not even just talking about the comments that I see from the average everyday person that just make me scratch my head, but educated people that have no idea what they're talking about when they tell, you know, moms that they can't induce for an adoptive baby, or they tell, you know, a woman that they can't relactate for whatever reason. You know, I've heard doctors say that it's impossible to not even try. And so, you know, it still amazes me when I hear stuff like that. And I read bad advice for young moms who have changed their mind about breastfeeding and now they want to relactate. It just drives me crazy. I don't understand, you know, this mentality of you just can't do this. That's what I'm here for, to educate the public and to help you out. So let's get on with the podcast. So it's really important to set realistic expectations for relaxation, and that'll all be based on your individual circumstances. Relaxation can be a time-consuming process, and many people are usually able to partially or fully lactate with the right support. And success will really depend in part on motivation and dedication to the process. Access to skilled assistance from a lactation support provider can be helpful, like me, or even, you know, a lactation consultant in your area. You know, a lot of times I hear ladies say that they're afraid to talk to their doctor, or they don't want to see a lactation consultant because everybody's so afraid of being judged. First of all, that's wrong. I mean, there's nothing I can do about it, but it's wrong. And if you mention to your doctor that you want to lactate and he judges you for it, you need another doctor. And I'm pretty sure I've said that in other podcasts. There should be no reason for someone to judge you for a personal choice that you make. If you go to see a lactation consultant, I would almost bet that that's not going to happen. It could, but most of the time, lactation consultants are very open-minded, so they're not going to judge you for it. And a lot of times, they won't even ask you why. They'll just do their best to help you. So if you don't want to see your doctor, find a lactation consultant in your area to help you. Now remember, success will depend in part on motivation and dedication to the process. You know, I've seen a couple of people say, well, I pump in the morning and I pump at night and I'm not getting anywhere. Well, no, I'm sorry. You know, eventually you will. It will eventually pay off, but it makes it a much longer process. So you have to really be dedicated to what you're doing. And, you know, I try to tell people that this is something you need to do for yourself. And I understand that people want to do it to involve their partner, which that's, you know, what it's all about. But initially, you can't say, well, I'm doing this solely because my partner wants me to, because you're not going to feel as dedicated to the process. You have to want it for yourself. And milk production can start as early as a few days. If you've had children before, it's even easier. But, you know, a few days after stimulation, but usually it takes weeks and sometimes even months. So, you know, you may read that the start of lactation will depend on the length of time that has passed since lactation stopped. And a lot of times I hear people say that it's like the same amount of time. Like if you were a new mom and you stopped breastfeeding 6 months ago, it's going to take you 6 months to get back there. And that is absolutely not true. Not true at all. I, as well as several other people I know, hadn't lactated in over 20 years. And it just took me, I think, 3 to 4 months. So if it had, you know, somebody had told me it was going to take me 20 years. Well, no, let's see. My youngest son just turned 30. So if somebody told me it was going to take 30 years for me to do this, I would have been like, man, I ain't got time for that. Just rest assured that no matter how many times that they tell you that it depends on the length of time, it doesn't. It truly doesn't. You know, take some time before you start to reflect on your motivation. It is my opinion that in order to be truly invested in this process, it has to be something you're doing because you want to. Not to say that you can't do it to have a better, more intimate relationship with your partner. Obviously, you can. That's, you know, 90% of why most people do it. But if you're only doing it to please someone else, how invested and dedicated are you really going to be? I mean, it is so important. If it is important to you to provide as much breast milk as you can for your partner or to donate it, you know, is that a reason why you're doing it? To have the feeling of closeness and intimacy? You know, there's no right or wrong way to set goals or no right or wrong answer as to why you want to do it. And you may not want to have a goal at all. You know, it just may be a journey that you're on, but you really need to flesh out why you're doing it. Because in 2.5 months or 3 months or a year from now, when you're not seeing the results that you want to see, are you still going to be as invested? You know, it's really important at the beginning to decide that this is, you know, this is something that you want to do. And the first and probably most important thing that I think is to seek out support. And I really don't feel like I can say that enough. I strongly recommend that you seek out sources of support for this process. You can consult with a lactation consultant, like I said earlier, but really don't underestimate the power of support from other women and any family members that you choose to tell or any friends that you choose to tell. You know, they can all be such a strong supportive anchor for you when you get frustrated or when you're not sure what you're doing or whatever. You know, if you have a friend that's had kids before, so she's experienced the breastfeeding process, and you get a clogged duct or a mastitis or, you know, anything, it's nice to have somebody that you can talk to, even if it's just a text message, you know, about a clogged duct that, you know, doesn't feel good, or you have a fever because you think you have mastitis. It's just really nice to have a support system. And probably not just for inducing. You know, it's nice to have a good support system for anything that you're doing. As you venture on into your journey with relactation, it's important to understand that all people are different and respond to the efforts of relactation with different degrees of success. Some women will bring in a full supply within weeks, some will take a bit longer, and some will never quite be able to bring back a full milk supply. Don't judge yourself based on other people's results. And most definitely don't judge yourself based on somebody that's breastfeeding a baby, because chances are that's not where you're going to be. But remember, every ounce of breast milk counts, though, and making peace with what you have is vital when you're working on relactating. Again, each body reacts differently to attempts at relactation. However, you can expect to see more initial results within a month or so of trying. I have read some experts that believe the amount of time it takes to relactate is equal to how long it's been since you've weaned from breastfeeding, which I said that earlier. But I don't believe it's true, and I said that. I just, you know, find it hard to wrap my head around that, you know, for someone to say, well, if you haven't breastfed for 30 years, you know, you can't do it. There's just not enough research in this area. You need to have faith and remember that lactation is a hearty, flexible, fluid process. And if you previously breastfed, that it'll be easier for you to get things rolling again. Any stimulation to the breast, whether milk is coming out at first or not, will tell your body to produce more milk. To induce a full milk supply, you'll want to aim to suckle or pump 8 to 12 times a day, every 2 to 3 hours, and include at least once at night. And again, at first, you'll only see drops or not much milk at all. And remember, ladies, unless you gave birth within the last 5 days, what you initially see coming out of the breast is not colostrum. Okay, it's just cellular fluid, lymphatic fluid, you know, all of that clearing out. So don't get that confused, because if you're inducing, you can't produce colostrum. Now, if you keep suckling or pumping, you will start to see results. And remember here, a little patience goes a long way. In addition to suckling or pumping, you may want to consider adding a galactagogue to the mix. And galactagogues is any food, herb, or prescription medication that is thought to help you boost your milk supply. And a few popular choices are oatmeal and lactation cookies, herbs like fenugreek, blessed thistle, goat's rue, shatavari, moringa. You know, those are a few. You can also consider drinks, teas, or powders that you add to water that are made with some of these herbs. I always suggest you speak with your healthcare provider about what herbs are safe for you to try and about the potential risks of any supplements you're considering. And then, you know, you never know. Your doctor may also be open to prescribing a medication that increases your milk supply. So, you know, it can't hurt to have that conversation. So what are your chances of success? The answer to that question depends on how you define success. And I would define success as satisfaction with the amount of milk produced without any adverse effects to you. Most people who attempt relactation do produce milk, sometimes a little and sometimes a lot. It is unfortunately not possible to predict how much an individual will produce. And I get that question a lot. And you just there's just no way to know. You know, if you only pump 3 times a day, maybe, you know, for that day, you're only going to get a total of 6 ounces. But the next day you pump 8 times a day and you get in a middle of the night pump and you get 12 ounces. There's just no way to predict. It's, you know, just an individual process. And when you're trying to relactate, it's important to cultivate an attitude of acceptance of whatever amount of milk you end up producing. And it would, of course, always be nice to have more. But remember, your worth as a partner is not based on milk production. It's based on care and love. So what are some visual signs that relactating is working for you? There's a few of them. You know, these visual changes can be increase in the size of your breasts, sometimes as much as 2 cup sizes or more. There's also changes in the pigmentation of your nipples and your areola, changes in the size of your nipples and your areola, and more noticeable presence of blood vessels just under the surface of your skin. You can expect your breast pigmentation to change as your breasts progress towards complete lactation. And if you're stimulating your breast to induce lactation, you will observe that the nipple and areola are starting to darken. And this is an indication that your breasts are getting closer to lactating. As your breasts develop, new tissues deep inside your breasts are also developing. And you got to remember that. You know, you may not see anything going on every day when you pump and you're, you know, getting to the point of why do I keep pumping because it's not making any difference and you don't see what's going on, but there's a lot of stuff going on inside. So just try to keep that in mind. And as the ducts fill up, you know, the breasts start to get fuller. As all that increases, the areola naturally increases in diameter. And your nipple will also become larger in diameter. And sometimes they get to where they just stay firm. I don't want to say hard, but firm. Your nipples will stay firm more often or all the time. When your breasts are preparing for lactation, the concentrated cellular construction inside your breast is developing your tissues and they require extra nutrients that's then transported to your breast through your blood. So this requires your blood vessels to dilate. And that's why sometimes they appear under the surface of your breast. They were always actually there, but because more blood and, you know, there's no more movement towards the breasts are getting fuller and bigger. So the blood vessels look more pronounced closer to the skin. If you notice those vessels increasing in number or size, that generally indicates that your breasts are moving closer to full lactation. They will also continue to enlarge and maintain their presence during the time that you're lactating because the extra nutrients are still needed to continue the production of milk. Sometimes people feel like a tingling or pins and needles sensation in the breast. Sometimes there's a sudden feeling of fullness in the breast. When you're pumping or suckling on one side, your other breast may start to leak. The thirsty, you'll definitely become thirsty. And remember, your milk flow can be affected by your emotions, like anxiety, embarrassment, tension, extreme tiredness. So being relaxed when you're pumping or suckling really helps your milk flow. All right, I want to take a quick break right here to just remind you, you know, with all these things that I'm talking about, again, you know, a lot of times when someone has these questions or they want to talk about it, it's not something that can be answered in just a comment on Facebook. You know, to have a little bit more of an in-depth discussion with somebody, please feel free to hit me up for one of those Zoom meetings. Like I said, it's an hour, just $25, and you can book the appointment right on my website at lactationstation2020.com. If you're having problems establishing a supply, there are a couple of options that you can try. There's always the Newman Goldfarb protocols. I talked about those in previous episodes. The Canadian Breastfeeding Foundation has some suggestions. Three reliable ways to increase milk production, and they're very similar to the Newman Goldfarb protocols. So one of the first ways they say is replace your current birth control with Yasmin, which, yeah, Dr. Newman stopped recommending Yasmin because of the chance of blood clots. So I'm not sure why the Canadian Breastfeeding Foundation is still doing it, but if that's something that you try and you decide you want to do, please keep that in mind, that that is a birth control he stopped using because of the chance of blood clot. Now, it has three times the amount of progesterone that's in the 1/35th type of birth control pills. So that's one thing that they suggest. Then they suggest you replace your current birth control pill with microgestin. And this medication has a third more progesterone than in the 1/35 type. And then the last one is continue on your current 1/35 birth control pill and then add at least 1 milligram of progesterone another way, like by adding a half a pill of Provera, you know, or something like that. What's really interesting, excuse me, is on the bottom of the page, they suggest not using progesterone cream. They say the level of progesterone in creams is not reliable. So that brings me to an article that a friend of mine, that a friend of mine suggested I read. And I just like to give a little shout out to Carol and tell her to thank you. Thank you for the article and thank you for everything that you've been helping with. You've been great and I really appreciate it. All right, so she had an article that she sent me and it was written by a man who goes by Dr. Jim. And after reading the article, I wanted to know more about Dr. Jim and what his credentials actually were. Well, as it turned out, he is an actual doctor in family medicine, emergency medicine, and preventative medicine. And he became interested in relactating when there was two young women that worked in his office and asked his opinion of, you know, was it possible that taking certain herbs could enlarge their breasts? At the time, he told him no, because he just didn't see that how that would work. But that got him interested in finding out more about herbs and their effects. So if you want to read more about Dr. Jim, you can at giftofmilk.com/Dr. Jim. Okay, but on to the article and how it relates to the Canadian breastfeeding thing. So he talks about using progesterone cream for hormonal induction and increasing lactation. Now, some of this is going to sound like I'm reading because I am. I wanted to be sure that I got all the information right, so I wrote it down so that way I could pass it on to you. So what he says is for hormonal induction, this is a 1 to 2 month course or longer of hormonal stimulation to wake up the breasts or make them larger and cause them to add more alveoli so that milk production later will be more successful. It mimics the hormonal stimulation of a pregnancy, and the breasts generally do not lactate during this time. For increasing lactation, this is an ongoing use during an adult nursing relationship to obtain more milk when nipple stimulation and possible domperidone is not enough to bring success. Dr. Jim says these two things cannot be done at the same time, which I know to be true. Just like in a pregnancy, your breasts won't produce milk while the alveoli are developing. So you have to pick one or the other. You can't do both at the same time. With hormonal induction, this is what he suggests you do. A course of hormonal induction can be helpful for a woman who has had low levels of hormones for some time. It can cause the breast to increase in size somewhat due to the addition of new alveoli to replace those lost through normal involution. Most physicians that assist women with women who want to induce lactation for the purpose of breastfeeding an adopted infant recommend this. This generally should not be necessary for younger ovulating women. It can make a big difference for postmenopausal women due to their low hormonal state. Women on birth control pills generally are younger and probably do not need to do this. A woman who has had a hysterectomy and ovaries removed is usually maintained on lower levels of hormones and would probably find it to be quite beneficial. If a woman has had cancer of the uterus, ovaries, or breast, and these organs are still present, she should consult with her doctor before taking any form of hormonal supplement. And I just like to make a point real quick, because I've noticed with the people that I talk to that women between the ages of 45 and 70, on average, have a little bit more problems inducing or relactating than younger women. And I think he made that point, you know, that's a pretty important point. Young women, or, you know, women young enough to still be on birth control, probably won't need to do this yet because they aren't, what's a nice way to put it? You know, their boobs aren't sagging or having issues or any of that other stuff. So they're not necessarily looking for a way to fix that because their bodies are still in their birthing prime. There we go. In their birthing prime. So everything is, you know, still fat and full and intact. But as you get older, you know, all of that stuff depletes. So this would be a good way to build up the alveoli before you start inducing, as opposed to taking a lot of pills and stuff like you do on the Newman Goldfarb protocol. He says the general idea is to elevate estrogen through the first half of the cycle and progesterone through the second half. If a woman is on birth control pills, it's commonly a low dose type. She can add progesterone cream 20 to 40 milligrams daily to the breast through the second half of her cycle, including when she's actually on her cycle, in addition to the birth control pills. Then he says, for a woman who is on estrogen supplements for a variety of reasons, including postmenopausal, hysterectomy, or ovaries removed, she can take her hormonal supplements in her normal fashion and add progesterone cream daily 2 weeks of the month to achieve similar results. For women who are postmenopausal and not on hormonal supplements, starting estrogen may cause undesirable vaginal bleeding. Even in menopause, women produce a small amount of estrogen in the form of estrone made in the fat cells. Using progesterone cream daily for 2 weeks out of every 4 weeks in combination with their low estrogen level for several months can have a gradual effect on the breast. Because of the low estrogen in the body, the response is quite gradual and may take 6 months to notice a difference. Now I'm going to read you a piece of information that I found in his literature that actually, I don't know, I felt like it opened a door for me. Not a door. Okay, so let me read it to you. So, taking estrogenic herbs, including fenugreek, fennel, and soy, can speed up the process, which are unlikely to cause unwanted bleeding. So, first of all, let me clarify that. He's saying that if you're starting estrogen may cause undesirable vaginal bleeding. So, what he's saying is if you take an estrogenic herb like fenugreek, and you take that for 4 weeks, during 2 of those weeks, you add the progesterone cream, and that will help build the alveoli without the undesirable vaginal bleeding. Now, let me just, because there's so much talk about fenugreek, when I read his statement, I had no idea that fenugreek was an estrogenic herb. And this could be the reason that it responds for some women and not for others. If you have normal or estrogen dominance, adding fenugreek could be detrimental. Because what happens is, you know, if you have normal estrogen hormones and you add something that spikes your estrogen, your body thinks you're pregnant and it shuts everything down. If you add the fenugreek and your body goes, uh-oh, there's a pregnancy, and it stops milk production. So that, you know, I mean, that could totally explain why fenugreek works for some women and for some women it doesn't. If you're on HRT or no hormones, or you have low estrogen, then fenugreek might actually be helpful for you. I mean, this is really interesting. I really have to figure out how to look more into that. I don't know. I need to get a grant so I could start some clinical studies. Anyway, Dr. Jim also goes on to say, for women who are younger and ovulating, it is generally not necessary to do this, but there may be a condition where they want to enlarge their breast a bit, such as a situation where a woman has breastfed a baby and stopped and is dismayed at the shrinkage of her breast size as compared to prior before the pregnancy. So a short course of progesterone cream in the second half of her cycle for a couple of months could help restore her breasts as well. And these aren't hypotheses. He's used these techniques in his practice. So he's not just supposing that it may work. They do. All right, so let's move on to increasing lactation. Increasing lactation is a completely different use of the progesterone cream. And this is how he says it should be used. Typically, this will be a woman who has a significant level of estrogen in her system due to regular ovulation, ages 20 to menopause. Most women who try to induce lactation simply begin with frequently dry suckling in their relationship. To this, they add additional nipple stimulation by pumping and the Marmet expression to increase the frequency of some type of stimulation to at least every 4 hours. I suggest every 2 to 3 hours. He says every 4. The best sign of eventual success at this point is the change in the pattern of your cycle. If your cycle becomes shorter and lighter and even stops, it indicates that nipple stimulation is suppressing ovary function and lowering estrogen levels, which in turn is allowing more prolactin release. For some women who tend to run higher levels of prolactin naturally, this may be all that is necessary to bring on lactation. In case you didn't know, you can have your doctor test your prolactin levels, and then they can tell you if it's normal, within normal range, you know, any of that stuff. And once again, a shout out to Carol, because she messaged me the other day and told me that she found an online prolactin level test. I haven't looked into it. I will get that information. But, you know, then you wouldn't even have to go to your doctor. I'm not sure how that works because it's a blood test, but I will definitely look into that. For some women who tend to run higher levels of prolactin naturally, this may be all that is necessary to bring on lactation. Oh, I already said that. Okay. For other women, this is not enough. Adding domperidone is usually the next step. Domperidone does not lower estrogen and will not affect your cycle. However, it does increase prolactin release from nipple stimulation. And for many women, this will bring on lactation. For some women, adding domperidone may not be enough to bring on lactation. This is particularly true if there has not been a significant change in the pattern of your cycle from nipple stimulation alone. And obviously, my ladies in the older crowd that don't have this issue anymore, you know, then you would look for other signs of the breast because you're not looking to see your cycle stop because chances are it already has. Okay, so well, now this is where he says the progesterone cream comes in. You apply 10 to 20 milligrams twice a day anywhere on the body where good absorption can be obtained. Areas of thinner, more delicate skin. And this will combine with the nipple stimulation to suppress the ovary function and lower estrogen levels and it will change the pattern of your cycle if it's successful. It is likely that a woman will have success with this combination if her breasts are capable of such. So a couple of things to note. If you decide to use a progesterone cream, it may help you lose weight, it may help you sleep better, and it may help with your overall feelings. If you do decide to use it, when you're applying it, he says anywhere that is areas of thin, more delicate skin, I would suggest that you want to keep it above the waist first, and you don't want to apply it anywhere where there's fatty tissue. Because the cream, what it does is when your body absorbs it, it sits in the fat cells and takes longer to distribute into your system. So if you rub it on like the inside of your forearm or the top of your chest, you know, the areas where there's no fat or little fat, then it gets absorbed in a lot quicker. And you also want to trade off where you apply it. It prevents you from overwhelming your receptor sites. And then that way, you know, if you did it in one spot, like every day for a week, it would, at the end of the week, it would take longer for that one spot to absorb it. So you want to kind of, you know, a trade off, like if you're doing it twice a day, morning and evening, one of the areas like your right forearm, your right breast area, your chest, your left forearm, or your neck. And then that way you can, you know, trade off. And there's no specific rotation. It's just choose a new location with each application. You should always apply progesterone cream above your navel to keep the liver from metabolizing it too quickly. I know sometimes people get the pellets and they, you know, just put them in your behind. And that's like right at the waist. But I wouldn't go any lower. Like one good spot that I've heard people say is behind the knees. But that's just too low. I mean, it won't hurt you. You could do it. It's just gonna, you're not gonna get the full benefit because your liver is gonna metabolize it too quickly to get all of that progesterone into your system. In the case where a woman is on an estrogen supplement, and she's trying to induce lactation and finds that the estrogen inhibits it, supplementing with the progesterone cream can help balance the estrogen effect, and that can also be successful. Because if you have more estrogen than progesterone, then your body is, that's what happens when you're pregnant. That's how your body's acting. It's not letting the milk flow because the estrogen is higher. If you added a progesterone cream, then it balances the hormones, and so it's more even and you're more likely to be able to produce better. So all this is really interesting to me, and what I did is I ordered some progesterone cream and I got it on Friday. I intend to spend the next month testing out this theory, and then on the next podcast I will update you on how well it worked. And I will also be updating in my Facebook group. So if you want to know more before next month, because I'm only doing the podcast once a month now, then join the Facebook group at Lactation Station 2020. You know, I'll be posting updates there. If you feel stuck and you don't feel like you're making progress, you know, the progress that you should be, I don't know, maybe this will help. We will find out together. Now, I read out to you most of the article, but if you're interested in reading more about Dr. Jim and his theory, you can find this article and other stuff at giftofmilk.com/Dr. Jim/using-progesterone-cream. It's a pretty interesting rabbit hole, that is for sure. And like I said at the beginning, there is not enough research on any of this. So it's kind of just trial and error. And a lot of times when I find something like this with the progesterone cream that could be an answer or could be, you know, a help, I just jump right in and test it out, because somebody has to. You know, somebody has to do something to find out if these different techniques work or not. It was really interesting about the fenugreek being an estrogenic. That, I mean, you know, to me, that makes so much sense. If you're taking it and your estrogen is spiking, then, you know, it cuts off your milk flow. That just makes so much sense to me. So, you know, maybe that's an answer. I don't know. All right. So, oh my gosh, this is a lot longer than I planned on it being. Don't forget to go by the website. Hit me up for those Zoom meetings, ladies. You know, I really want the opportunity to help you and build our community and, you know, do these things that's going to help all of us. So go by the website, lactationstation2020.com. Hit me up on an email, lactationstation2020@gmail.com. Go by the Facebook page, lactationstation2020 on Facebook. I'm working on Instagram and Twitter. If you ladies have any suggestions or you have anything that you want me to talk about, one of the things I'm considering putting on my Patreon page is a live Q&A so that we can just sit and talk about some of this different stuff. So you let me know what you want to hear, and I'll keep plugging it away at getting you as much information as I can. Have a great night and stay milky. This is Michaela at Lactation Station.